Anybody wanna fall in love tonight? Fall in love tonight. Wanna fall in love tonight? She said, Don't you wanna fall in love tonight? Special night, my favorite crew. The moon threatened to dance her out of her shoes. In his ear, he was about to hear an offer that he could not refuse. She said, Don't you wanna fall in love tonight? Don't you wanna fall in love tonight? She said, underneath the taffeta, there ain't no better hiding place. If I see the moon, I'll just laugh at her. Wanna wake up, your pretty face.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, January 29, 2017 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Sisters and brothers, doesn't it feel a bit like we're all trying to sit in a tilt-a-whirl built by fascists? It was not funny to find in the New York Times an article that very same day, this was actually a paragraph that I'm interjecting into with a comment, came to me as I was reading this article in the New York Times that I needed to comment on it. So I interrupted the regularly planned commentary. It wasn't funny to find an article that seemed at first to say it commiserates with this sense of disorientation, this sense of being on a tilt-a-whirl built by fascists. An article titled Hall of Mirrors, President Trump's Ascendance Challenges Assumption and Prevailing Wisdom in Myriad Ways. And that's from the New York Times of January 25th, 2017, the very day I was starting the text for this show and wrote the above words, by Richard Fawcett. It had the following words displayed at the very top. "Every day since the election," this is a quote from Marcy Gaston, "I have felt like I'm living in the Twilight Zone, that I'm watching some weird show that is part fiction, part reality TV," unquote. I.e., it feels like she's watching theater, which is the truth. We are being given fiction equipped with multiple supporting fictional strands attached. This mess, and I'm speaking of the global mess the power guys keep delivering to us, is so not what we want. As Prince says in Dear Mr. Man, we tired of y'all. Tired. Sick and tired of being tired. But are we thinking about what we want? Is what I'm going to be asking in today's show. And he's also said in Family Name that we're in the last days of the devil's deal. So are we asking ourselves what we want? Because these global brigands are rushing to renegotiate their post-World War II global consensus. And before continuing, I'm interrupting myself again. It just seems too important not to, this discussion. I'd like to encourage us to recall and listen again to the words that will follow from the first chapter of Does Capitalism Have a Future? That we read together in our May 4th and May 18th 2014 shows. We won't be rereading all of it, the excerpts that I posted for today's show, but you can visit the side column of our Expanding Global Goals pages, which you can find on the website, to find the full Wallerstein chapter. It's in two parts. The first part happened to come last. As we did with Proudhon, we ended up reading the conclusion first. The first chapter of the book is Emmanuel Wallerstein's structural quote. This is the title of his chapter. "Structural Crisis, or Why Capitalists May No Longer Find Capitalism Rewarding." Here are the excerpts I'd like us to think about in the context of the question, how do we begin the necessary process of taking charge of our own lives, which means wresting them from the frozen grip of the global state statesman, the people Emmanuel calls the world right. And quote from Emmanuel Wallerstein, which we included in our May 4th, 2014 show. "In my view, for a historical system to be considered a capitalist system, the dominant or deciding characteristic must be the persistent search for the endless accumulation of capital." And I'm commenting here, having it put so clearly, unintentionally exposes the ideological nature of quote-unquote capitalism, as well as the underlying root of coercion. You will be compelled to obey, and its function as shield, as the obvious role of brute force in sustaining it, is ignored or kept hidden. For instance, all of Nikola Tesla's stolen inventions have been turned into corporations, and we train to thank them for them. Continuing with Emmanuel Wallerstein, the accumulation of capital in order to, and I hope that's straightforward enough. General Electric, stolen. AT&T, and the most recent, of course, the car company taking his name. That's really offensive. Continuing with Emmanuel, the accumulation of capital in order to accumulate more capital. And for this characteristic to prevail, there must be mechanisms that penalize any actors who seek to operate on the basis of other values or objectives, such that these non-conforming actors are sooner or later eliminated from the scene." And unquote. Now, as we and the earth, and we are earth, are the source of everything. And as we're tired of bowing down to would-be kings, and to forge our global unity to figure out what to do about it, we need global unity forging tools, which Nicola et al. Thoughtfully provided to us. So we support with our substance these tools. Should one of them fall into the hands of someone who also wants global unity, does power have means within its economic quote-unquote scheme for removing this non-conforming actor from the scene? Say power whittles away at his fortune, but the people globally keep restoring it. What does power do to get rid of him? In 1900 or so, they stole another one of Nicola's inventions to solve this dilemma for them, the EMF, electromagnetic force weapon. So, it is time to face reality. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3.